This period of time between sundown and night we call dusk, or my preference, twilight. This word twilight is a compound word combining two syllables, twi and light. When you think of the syllable twi, it might make you think of two as in twin. While it does convey a sense of two, it more precisely conveys a sense of tween, as in between, twilight, the light between two events. In Hebrew, there's a phrase that describes twilight perfectly. That phrase, I'm going to try to turn my thing on here, see if this works, is Bain Ha-Arbaim. You may or may not have ever heard this phrase before. It's not found in the Strong's Concordance. But it describes twilight perfectly. And it will be that phase of light will be the focus of our study today. Bain Ha-Arbaim is an interesting expression, and that is exactly what it is, an expression. The reason you don't find it in Strong's Concordance is Strong's translates words, not expressions or phrases. In fact, in each of the 11 instances where the expression Bain Ha-Arbaim is used in the Bible, Strong's and the King James get it wrong and translate it as Erev, at even. So you pronounce Bain, I know it looks like Ben, but it's pronounced Bain Ha-Arbaim. Ha is just an article to put the two together. It's like the, between the, and then Arbaim. Arbaim is probably a word you have not heard. It's a bit more complex, and it derives from the same root as the word Erev, which is often translated as even, evening, dusk, or eventide. Delving into that root, we find the word Arab. Arab, yeah, that Arab, as in Arabia. It means to grow dusky or dark, to become evening. By adding the suffix im to Arbi or Arabian, it becomes Arbaim, and it becomes plural, as in the two darknesses or two evenings. When translated to English, the phrase means between the two evenings, or just between the evenings. It describes twilight perfectly. The first darkness, or evening, occurs after the sun has just dropped fully below the horizon. We call this sunset. The word Erev is used to describe sunset, when the sun touches the horizon to when it has dropped completely below. So that period of time, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, as the sun is setting. That is the first evening. The second evening is when it gets totally dark. One evening when the sun has set, and the second evening when it becomes totally dark. So during this period of time, it's still light out. And it may be light for 30 minutes or more, depending on where you're located and what time of year it is. So we view the sun as setting, as a marking the end of the day. And it does. Yet the day isn't over by our reckoning because it's not midnight yet. But more importantly, in God's view, it marks the beginning of a new day. All right, so I'll just leave it on that slide for a minute. So between the evenings is the time between the sun has set below the horizon, no longer visible, and before total darkness. It is dusk or twilight, that time at the beginning of the day on God's calendar. Now, there are only 11 instances where this phrase is used in the Bible. So we're going to review each one. It won't take long. And if I do this correctly, we will see it has an important connection to the Passover. Of the 11 times the phrase Bain Ha-Arbaim is used in the Old Testament, the King James, as I said, somehow missed all 11 and instead translated as at even or evening. So we'll start out. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 12, and we'll pick it up in the first verse. Exodus chapter 12, this is the Passover killing of the lamb in Egypt. Exodus 12, verse 1. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and neighbor share one, basically, and take according to the number of souls, every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening at sunset by Erev. This is the King James now. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorpost of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Now this has led to some confusion as to whether the lamb was to be killed at sunset on the 14th or the night before on the 13th, just after sunset. The good news is we are blessed to have Robert Young's literal translation, the YLT, as it shows us when Bein HaArbaim appears in the Hebrew and translates it correctly. The Young's literal translation was first published in 1862. The literal translation is, as the name implies, a very literal translation of the original Hebrew and Greek texts. So here's that verse in the King James on the top and the Young's literal on the bottom. This is the first instance. If you look up in the upper right-hand corner, it'll have the number, so I'm keeping track for you. There's 11 of them. This is number one. In the Young's literal translation, verse 6 reads, And it hath become a charge to you until the 14th day of this month, and the whole assembly of the company of Israel have slaughtered it between the evenings. Bein HaArbaim. Verse 8, And they have eaten the flesh in this night, roast with fire, with unleavened things, and bitters they do eat it. So, for it to be killed at Bein HaArbaim, which we know occurs after sunset, and is still supposed to be on the 14th, it would have to be killed after sunset the day before, beginning on the 14th, because that's when the day starts. So that's number one. Now, there's some verses that we have here that deal with just keeping the Passover. So let's turn to Leviticus chapter 23. This will lead us to number two. Leviticus 23 and verse 4. These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations which ye shall proclaim in their seasons. In the 14th day of the first month at even, now this is the King James again, is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread unto the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. This too has caused some confusion as to when the Passover is kept. In the 14th day at even has even been interpreted by some to mean at the end of the 14th at sunset, causing them to incorrectly keep the Passover on the 15th, combining the 14th with the Feast of Unleavened Bread starting on the 15th. However, Young's, once again, makes this passage plain by properly translating Bein HaArbaim. The Young's literal. Verse 4, I'll read that first, and then we'll get it into verse 5. These are the appointed seasons of Jehovah, holy convocations, which ye proclaim in their appointed season. In the first month, on the 14th of the month, between the evenings, Bein HaArbaim is the Passover to Jehovah. And on the 15th day of this month is the feast of unleavened things to Jehovah, and 7 days unleavened things ye do eat. Now notice it says on the 14th. Now if it's got to be on the 14th day of the month, when is Bein HaArbaim on the 14th? Between the two evenings at the start of the day, the 14th, which is after sunset on the 13th. If it were at sunset at the end of the 14th, it would actually be then the 15th, wouldn't it? So that's number two. Now turn to Numbers chapter 9, verse 1. Numbers chapter 9, verse 1. This will lead to number 3 and number 4. Numbers 1, Numbers 9, rather, chapter 9, verse 1. And the Lord, this is King James, and the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the first month of the second year. So he's telling you, you're supposed to continue to keep this. This is now the second year. The month of the second year, after they were come out of the land of Egypt, saying, let the children of Israel also keep the Passover at his appointed season. In the 14th day of this month, at even, the King James says, ye shall keep it in its appointed season, according to all the rites of it, and according to all the ceremonies thereof, ye shall keep it. Verse 4. And Moses spake unto the children of Israel that they should keep the Passover. And they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month at even in the wilderness of Sinai, according to all that the Lord commanded Moses. So did the children of Israel. What does Young's literal say? In the 14th day of this month, between the evenings, twilight, Bein HaArbaim, at the beginning of the 14th, you prepare it in its appointed season, according to all its statutes and according to all its ordinances, you prepare it. And Moses spake unto the sons of Israel to prepare the Passover. Verse 5. And they prepare the Passover in the first month, on the 14th day of the month, between the evenings, in the wilderness of Sinai, according to all that Jehovah has commanded Moses. So there's number 3, Numbers 9, verse 3, and there's number 4, Numbers 9, verse 5. Someone who couldn't make the Passover ceremony when it was originally scheduled because he had a had contact with a dead body or he was traveling and was had contact with a dead body, he was defiled, so he couldn't participate. Or he was traveling, he was out of town. Provision was made to keep it in the second month of the year. And that's in Numbers 9, verse 10. So drop down to verse 10, where the King James says, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a man of you or of your posterity shall be unclean by reason of a dead body, or be in a journey afar off, yet he shall keep the Passover unto the Lord. The 14th day of the second month at even, by Erev, they shall keep it, and eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Young's literal. I'll read verse 10, and you can see verse 11. Speak unto the sons of Israel, saying, though any man is unclean by a body or in a distant journey of you or of your generations, yet he hath prepared a Passover to Jehovah in the second month, on the 14th day, between the evenings, they prepare it with unleavened and bitter things they eat it. This is very clear. Next section would be daily sacrifices and offerings. Turn to Exodus chapter 29. So this is, we're up to number 5 now, in case you, you're keeping track. Exodus 29 and verse 38. This speaks of instructions on carrying out daily sacrifices and offerings. Verse 38. Now this is that which thou shalt offer up upon the altar, two lambs of the first year, day by day, continually. The one lamb thou shalt offer in the morning, and the other lamb thou shalt offer at even, by Erev. Now it's unfortunate the morning is mentioned first, as it causes confusion that the morning one comes first, which actually the evening sacrifice comes first at the beginning of the day. Verse 40 says, and with one lamb, a tenth deal of mingled flour, and with the fourth part of a hin of beaten oil, and the fourth part of a hin of wine, or for a drink offering. And the lamb thou shalt offer at even, by Erev, and shall do thereto according to the meat offering of the morning, and according to the drink offering thereof, for a sweet savor, an offering made by fire. So you do the same thing that you did at the other offering. Now, this 9:11, am I looking at, okay. So Exodus 29:39. In the Young's literal, verse 39 reads, the one lamb thou dost prepare in the morning, and the second lamb thou dost prepare between the evenings, Bein HaArbaim. Now, number 6, number 7, down to verse 41. And the second lamb thou dost prepare between the evenings at twilight, according to the present of the morning, and according to its libation, basically you do the same way, thou dost prepare it for a sweet fragrance, fire offering to Jehovah. He doesn't correct the order, but plainly says one occurs at Bein HaArbayim, at the beginning of the day. Now we're going to look at offerings. Turn to Numbers chapter 28. Numbers chapter 28, we'll pick it up in the very first verse. Numbers 28, verse 1. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, command the children of Israel, and say unto them, my offering and my bread for my sacrifices made by fire for a sweet savor unto me shall you observe to offer unto me in their due season. And thou shalt say unto them, this is the offering made by fire which you shall offer unto the Lord, two lambs of the first year without spot, day by day, for a continual burnt offering. And verse 4, the King James reads, the one lamb thou shalt offer in the morning, and the other lamb shalt thou offer at even by Erev. Verse 8, and the other lamb shalt thou offer at even by Erev, as the meat offering of the morning, and as a drink offering thereof, thou shalt offer it, a sacrifice made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. Same issue. I can see how over time, day by day, you know, it would seem that the first offering is done in the morning, and then the second one's done at the end of the day. But Young makes this very clear. Numbers 28 and verse 4 reads, one lamb thou preparest in the morning, and the second lamb thou preparest between the evenings. Now, he's still got the order out of whack, but he does say between the evenings. The next one, verse 8. Okay, this is number 9 in your count to 11. And the second lamb thou dost prepare between the evenings, Bein HaArbayim, as the present of the morning and as its libation thou preparest, so you do it the same way, a fire offering, a sweet fragrance to Jehovah. So as we've learned, Bein HaArbayim, twilight, begins the day. Turn to Exodus chapter 30. This is regards the lighting of the temple lamps. Exodus chapter 30, we'll pick it up in verse 7. Exodus chapter 30, verse 7. In the King James reads, and Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning. When he dresses the lamps, he shall burn incense upon it. Verse 8, and when Aaron lighteth the lamps at even by Erev, he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. 30 verse 8, or chapter 30 verse 8, this is our 10th instance. Verse 8 in the Young's literal translation reads, and in Aaron's causing the lamps to go up between the evenings by Erev, Bein HaArbayim, he doth perfume it, a continual perfume before Jehovah to your generations. Now the Jews have mistakenly interpreted the evening to begin at the ninth hour, which is 3 p.m. in the afternoon. And some even say as early as right after noon when the sun just begins its traverse towards going down. Traditions of men. Why would Aaron light the lamps during the daylight at 3 p.m. in the afternoon? When do you turn your lights on? Do you turn them on at 3 o'clock in the afternoon? Or do you wait till it starts to get dark? The last one is the proof of the quails. Exodus chapter 16, and we'll start in verse 1. Exodus 16, verse 1. The King James. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after the departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured, talked about complaining, right? We heard that, murmured against the Lord, or against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness, which they tell them that is against the Lord. In verse 3, the children of Israel say unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the flesh pots and we did eat bread to the full. For you have brought us out forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Verse 8. And Moses said, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening by Erev flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, that for that the Lord heareth your murmurings, which you murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. And Moses spake unto Aaron, say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. Verse 13, and it came to pass at even, the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. Now notice in the upper right corner there's an X. This does not count as a counting toward Bein Ha'Arbim, because Young's didn't translate it that way. I'll explain that in a minute. Young's reads this way, and Moses saith, Aaron also unto all the sons of Israel, evening by Erev, and ye have known that Jehovah hath brought you out from the land of Egypt, and morning, and ye have seen the honor of Jehovah in his hearing your murmurings against Jehovah, and what are we that you murmur against us? In verse 8, and Moses saith, in Jehovah's giving to you in the evening by Erev flesh to eat and bread in the morning to satiety, in Jehovah's hearing your murmurings which you are murmuring against him, and what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against Jehovah. So it says in both, and right there it says he's by Erev in both cases, right? The King James does, and so does the Young's. The difference is in verse 12, and this is your number 11. Notice that he says evening in both places on the King James, on that one, the verse 8. In the evening at sunset by Erev, you will know it is the Lord Jehovah. In fact, we can go back and look at that. You can read it carefully. It says, in the evening, eat flesh, and in the morning, it says, when I give you bread in the evening. So when he gives it to you, that's when the quail arrive. But when you eat it, is after sunset, because they arrive at sunset, and in the evening, Bein Ha'Arbayim is when they eat it. So you got to make the distinction between when the quails were given, when they arrive, and when they started to eat them. So Exodus 16, and we'll start in, we'll just read verse 12 here. I have heard the murmurings of the sons of Israel speak unto them, saying, between the evenings ye eat flesh, and in the morning you're satisfied with bread, and you have known that I am Jehovah. Verse 13 in the Young's reads this way, and it cometh to pass in the evening by Erev, the quail coming up covered the camp. That's the arrival of the quail. And in the morning there hath been lying of dew round about the camp, and the lying of the dew goeth up, and lo, on the face of the wilderness, a thin, bare thing, thin as hoarfrost on the earth. That's the arrival of the manna. So take careful note as to when God will give them quails at sunset, and when God says they will eat the quails at twilight between the evenings. Verses 6, 8, and 13 talk about when God will give them quails when they arrive in the camp. Both the King James and the Young's correctly say at even, by Erev, it is when they will witness the quails falling all over the camp, the quail come up or they arrive at sunset. It's only verse 12, when they will eat the quails, where the King James gets it wrong, where they say it's by Erev, and Young says between the evening. Between the evenings you eat flesh. Once again, the King James gets it wrong, while Young's gets it correct. They will eat quails in the evening at twilight after Bein Ha'Arbayim, after sunset. Or in Bein Ha'Arbayim after sunset. You can't eat quail before they arrive. So if they're arriving at sunset, it's got to be after sunset when you're going to eat them, right? And that period of time is Bein Ha'Arbayim, is when they start. It doesn't mean they finished it during that 30 minutes. But that's when they started, they will eat flesh, and they did. This proves, once again, when God said to kill the lambs between the evenings, he meant after sunset, the 13th, at the beginning of the 14th. Now, why could they not eat the quail until after sunset? This section I call the proof of the manna. Notice what it says in the verses regarding the manna. Exodus 16, verse 4. And this is King James I'm reading. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. This is not new to us. This is standard stuff. And Moses said, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full. So flesh in the evening, bread in the morning. It's the same day, right? For that the Lord heareth your murmurings, which you murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. I have heard the murmurings of your children of Israel, of the children of Israel, speak unto them, saying, at evening you shall eat flesh, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Young's literal in verse 12, as we know, says, I have heard the murmurings of the sons of Israel, speak unto them, saying, between the evenings you eat flesh, and in the morning you're satisfied with bread, and you have known that I am Jehovah your God. At twilight you shall eat flesh, and that morning, because it starts the day, right? Bein Ha'arbim starts the day, and that morning you eat flesh. So that's when the manna shows up. Verse 13. And it came to pass that at even, at sunset, the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about. There's the small round thing in verse 14. And it says in verse 15, and when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, what's it? And what's it in Hebrew, I guess, means it's manna. So they started calling it manna, for they didn't know what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Gather it, every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more and some less. This was the first day they gathered manna. It was the first of the 6 days that they would gather it. So this is the when manna started. So 16, verse 22. And it came to pass that on the sixth day, so they gathered it for 6 days, they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, this is that which the Lord has said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and seethe that which ye will seethe, and that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until morning. Drop down to 25. And Moses said, eat that today. So now it's the Sabbath. Today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today you shall not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass that there went out some people on the seventh day to gather, and they found none. And the Lord said, what are you guys doing? How long are you going to do this? See that, verse 29, see, for that the Lord hath given you on the Sabbath, therefore he gives you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place, let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. You're not going to find it. So the people rested on the seventh day. Now here's a calendar. Let's see if this little thing here works. Okay, so over here, this is when they murmured. Sunset arrived, but now we're looking at the following week, the seventh day, there was no manna. So if this is a Sabbath, this has to be a Sabbath. Because it was 7 days between the two. I'm running out of juice in this little, here it is. So there's day one, which is a Sunday, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Sabbath, there was no manna. So the reason they couldn't eat before sunset was because it was a Sabbath. They had to wait until after sunset, Bein Ha'arbim, which now is really the start of that Monday. And it said, we'll give you the meat to eat in the morning, or at even, depending on which translation, and I will give you food or bread in the morning. So it's the same day. So that means, well, wait a minute, some people say, but doesn't verse 1 say they arrived in the wilderness of Sin on day 1? I mean, on the 15th day of the month? Verse 1, let's go look at verse 1, 16 verse 1. When did they arrive in the wilderness of Sin? Exodus verse 16 verse 1 reads, and they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. So how is it that they were traveling on the Sabbath, people say? And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron. So this is really some unfortunate phrasing, as it ignores a very important Hebrew accent mark called the atna. A-T-N-A-H is how it's spelled in English. The atna is used to express division of thoughts in the Hebrew text. In other words, the atna divides the verse into two units of thought, similar to the way we use a semicolon in English. The word Sinai has an atna attached to it. So what it really should read, if you translate it properly, there should be a full pause after Sinai. And it's a separating the thought from the next portion of the text. So a more proper phraseology would read like this. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. Full pause. Atna. And on the 15th day of the second month, after their departing out of the land of Egypt, the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. In other words, they didn't arrive on the 15th on a Sabbath day. The 15th was the day they murmured about not having anything to eat. And we know this has to be true because a week later it's a Sabbath. That day has to be a Sabbath. So if the 22nd is a Sabbath, the 15th has to be a Sabbath also. So they arrived, I just put up there, maybe on the 14th. It could be any time before the 15th, but it was the 15th when they murmured. Now, what day did they depart Egypt? Let's turn to Numbers chapter 33 and verse 3. Numbers 33 and verse 3. And they departed from Ramses in the first month, on the 15th day of the month, also the 15th day, right? On the morrow after the Passover, the children of Israel went out with a high hand in the sight of all the Egyptians. It is a night to be much observed unto the Lord, Exodus 12:42 says. Now, why am I pointing this out? Here's the first month, Nisan, in Egypt. If you look at this closely, the Passover lambs were killed on the 14th of Nisan, the evening before, actually on the 13th at sunset, between the two evenings. They ate the Passover lamb that night and burned the leftovers, so nothing remained until morning. That's Exodus 12:10. At midnight that same night, the Lord passed over and spared their firstborn, but killed the firstborn of Egypt. They did not go out of their houses until sunrise of the 14th. Exodus 12:22 tells us that. They had no idea how long it was going to take to kill all the firstborn of Egypt. And the only command they had was, don't go out until morning. So no way in the world they were going to go out until the sun rose. But once it rose, they knew it was okay. And after sunrise, during the Passover day, they began spoiling the Egyptians. That's Exodus 12, verse 36. So you can see that. Here's the Passover day. Boy, I'm running out of juice here. The tribes of Israel then gathered in Ramses. After sunset of the 14th, they departed. It was then the 15th of Nisan, a night to be much observed. Notice the days of the week on the calendar. The 14th of Nisan was a Wednesday. Christ was crucified also on a Wednesday, 1,230 years later. He was laid to rest in his grave just before sunset. The night the Israelites left Egypt, free from bondage in Egypt, was the selfsame night we were freed from the bondage of sin and death. A night to be much observed. Now, our study of the differences between Ba'erev at sunset and Bein Ha'arba'im between the two evenings proves that we are keeping the Passover on the correct day, the 14th of Nisan, after sunset of the 13th. Our God is a God of order and precision. When we see evidence of his faithfulness, we know we can trust him, and our faith grows. I wish you all an enjoyable night to be much observed when you go out with a high hand. I hope from now on you will always remember twilight time as an important time for the children of Israel, the Israel of God. It's a wonderful time of day to transition to a new day. In case you missed it, these are the 11 instances. If you'd like, I'll be glad to send this to you. I don't expect you to hurry up and write these down. You can take a picture with your phone or whatever, but I can make this available to you. So the twilight time is a wonderful time. In fact, according to the Platters, 1958 number one single entitled Twilight Time, it's a wonderful time to rendezvous with your darling and fall in love again in the afterglow of day, together at last at twilight time.